The views expressed on the following program are those of its hosts and participants and no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
And good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We've expanded our program here on AM 1380 and 95.1 FM. And it's WNRI. And this hour is brought to you by the our friends at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. What a tremendous job they do, located 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. It's David. It's Donna. It's the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Full bar, large dining area. Enjoy your unique rustic setting, whether it's lunch or dinner. You're going to love the Lodge Pub and Eatery. And by the way, what a perfect spot to gather. People coming in from out of town, reunions, people want to get together. Maybe you're looking for a place to celebrate Friendsgiving on Friday or Saturday, which has become huge. Make sure you check out the Lodge Pub and Eatery located 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Well, folks, it's a political Monday, and joining us right now, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com, and it's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, I want to start off. Bob Flanders announced last week he is, in fact, going to run now, apparently in a primary, against Representative Bobby Nottolillo in a Republican primary. He's seeking that Senate seat that is currently held by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. Judge Flanders, very impressive credentials. I believe he did serve for a brief time, I believe, in Barrington. But I'd like you to get your thoughts. What did you think on the Flanders rollout? What do you think of him as a candidate? And just your general impression of the Flanders campaign so far. I mean, long way to go here, but just so far.
Yeah, well, I think he's rolling out the campaign in a way that plays to his advantages. He's presenting himself as kind of an independent, which is good in this environment. I mean, you could see it two ways. Either you could see it as the sort of Trump Tea Party kind of anti-establishment independent, or you could see it as independent. Often Republicans in Rhode Island are hit as if they're going to be just following the line of congressional Republicans, and so that would typically be more conservative than Rhode Island GOP tend to have been. So that could also be it. He'll be more establishment. If he's independent nowadays, it could mean he's going to be more establishment than, say, the Trumpian wing of the party. But either way, his backstory and his history kind of play both of those. I mean, you could look at his announcement. He had Alan Hassenfeld there, who really emphasizes the kind of moderate side of that equation. So this is a moderate Republican, which is what Hassenfeld probably is. I mean, he's relatively conservative for Rhode Island standards, but moderate. But on the other hand, Judge Flanders was also at the head of the Rhode Island State Education Board when it was rolling out some pretty strong reforms that the unions didn't like, and that would be very much in keeping, I think, with what Betsy DeVos is doing at the federal level. So there's a lot to like in that independence, and the fact that he's older. I think he's 68. He's had a successful career on multiple fronts, notably as a judge. That gives him a sense of making independent decisions, because he's trying to cap a career, not try to make a name for himself at this point. So I think he hit a lot of those notes well in his announcement, and I think that's the direction he's going to be heading. He also played up what I've been expecting to be played up against Sheldon Whitehouse since before he was elected. The contrast there with the arrogance and the blue blood kind of pampered elitist hit against Whitehouse has always been obvious and always been there for the taking, and so he played that up pretty well, and so I think that's setting the terms for the general election in a primary against Representative Nottolillo. We'll have to wait and see how that goes. Nottolillo is much less of a known quantity, so he has to rely much more on just statements and getting his name in headlines. And I think it's going to be a tough road for Notalillo to take the primary away from Flanders.
Do you think it's a mistake for Representative Bobby Notalillo to run for this Senate seat if, in fact, now Flanders is in the race?
Yeah, I mean, Notalillo's been doing a lot of the necessary work that people who run for Senate as Republicans in Rhode Island often don't do, and getting his name out there and being seen and sort of a, hey, how are you, nice to meet you kind of a release. I think he could roll that into something else. There are plenty of seats, if you're going to run for office as a Republican, there are plenty of seats to go to. And Notalillo really hasn't racked up all that much. I mean, I'm not sure what he's done, notably, to sort of not only U.S. Congress, but the Senate side of that, which is considered to be more of a refined, narrow. It's only 100 people in the country. I haven't seen him make a case that he's got the background and should be trusted for that to take that seat. So I think it'd probably be in everybody's interest to relatively early parlay his whatever name recognition he's built up into a different office, even if it's more time in a General Assembly where he could have opportunity to start doing more as a legislator. But it seems at this point, and fundraising makes it clear as well, it seems at this point it's Flanders' seat, a nomination to lose, and Republicans probably would do better not to make each other blow a lot of their resources and start with negative campaigning and knocking each other down. It just doesn't really serve anybody's interest at this point.
You know, you folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Political Monday. I want to say good afternoon to everyone watching on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. You know, Justin, you go back to 2002. Jim Bennett was the endorsed Republican for governor, and then you had the newcomer Don Cachiri. And many times when you have the young guy against the older guy, in the voter's mind, without knowing, you know, how much different they may be on certain issues, there's just an element of let the younger guy wait his turn, I'm going to go with the more experienced, you know, the grandfather, the older businessman. And I don't know if the Notalillo people realize that, but if you were just to put the two of them on stage, and I don't care what anyone says, but just do you agree with me? I just think Flanders looks more like a senator than Notalillo.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I would actually divide up the point you made into two. I mean, there's, on the one hand, there is a sense that if you're younger, you know, wait your turn. People do have some kind of, as much as we speak out against parties and people are distrustful a lot of that system to a large extent, you do have a sense that they do create a pipeline and some kind of system for vetting people and letting the merit get to the top. And so there's still an institutional sense of letting people wait their turn and build themselves up behind that. But also, regardless of the age, say you mentioned Cachiri, regardless of the age, he had been a CEO, he had some business experience, and so he was a figure who seemed like he could run things and make good decisions, which is obviously, running things is more important as a governor than as a senator. But that, I think, more than age might have been. So if Representative Notalillo had some kind of a young, entrepreneurial or military hero kind of background or something to that effect, then it might, the age and the waiting your turn might not be such a powerful thing. But when you put them both up on stage, it is that impression of, well, younger, I mean, in this environment, younger might not be bad if people want some major changes, but not only younger, but also just, if you set them up tit for tat as far as experience and accomplishments, you just can't really compare. I mean, the age comes in because Judge Flanders has had a lot longer to have those accomplishments. But that's, I think that's, you raised exactly the point. Is he looks senatorial. You know he's going to be able to hold his own his career and his position in life are going to make Judge Flanders much more likely to be independent. I don't know, Washington does strange things to people, but the odds are better with him. With Nardalillo is kind of an unknown quantity. So, you know, he gets down, and frankly, a lot of the press releases and such he's put out in the past, say, 9 months, make you sometimes, as a conservative, I read it and I think, what are you doing? You know, just it seems more left leaning than I'd like to see. So you don't know how somebody like that might respond to the, you know, the toxic, corrupting atmosphere of Washington. Whereas Judge Flanders, he's had his career, and the most likely thing he would want to watch out for is to blow his legacy by just doing something ridiculously bad for the country.
He did a interview, Judge Flanders, and just the fact that he was on the Rhode Island Supreme Court, for crying out loud, which is no small feat. But he did an interview with Tim White and Ted Nesi on Newsmakers, and he gave President Trump a C so far for a grade. I'll tell you, Justin, I don't think that's a bad strategy, because to me, you know, if you want to be a Republican in this part of the country, the person to kind of model yourself after is Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. You cannot, if you are, that's why I think Joe Trillo is going to run into some problems as far as trying to attract independents. I think for Flanders to reach across the aisle, Flanders would need to get some of those Democrats that or an independents that are not on board with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse to be successful.
Yeah, and I think also the downside of his downplaying Trump is less, in meaning that it won't lose him much of the Trump-supporting base in Rhode Island, because, first of all, mainly because he has his own backstory. The left and the news media around here are playing up the degree to which the unions don't like him because of his role in Central Falls, Judge Flanders, that is, and helping them recover from essentially bankruptcy. And the unions didn't like him very much, but the kind of people who are probably Trump supporters now in Rhode Island will remember that and say that was a good thing. So the fact that he was at the Providence Journal Follies some years ago dressed as the Grim Reaper taking union jobs is a plus for those voters. So if he has some leverage, in other words, to give the president a C even among the president's supporters. Whereas people who are more moderate in Rhode Island will also know, they'll see Alan Hassenfeld by his side, they'll know that as a Rhode Island judge, he's more likely to be more of a moderate Republican by national standards. So I think that's exactly the approach he wants to take. And we're also, don't forget, we're in a very bizarre political world right now. I mean, Kevin Olsonoy, or how
yes.
He counts, is the executive director of the Democratic Party in Rhode Island. And he was making it seem like Judge Flanders would be a rubber stamp for Donald Trump, which I think that's how he put it. But of course, put aside Judge Flanders, but the Republican Congress hasn't been a rubber stamp for Donald Trump. So they kind of want to have it both ways on the left. You know, he's going to rubber stamp the president's agenda, but they can't get anything done. Well, which is it? You can't have both. And I think for these reasons, with the experience and his name recognition kind of floating between moderate and conservative Republican, I think Flanders will be in a good position. And I think he'll be able to pull back some of the moderates who may have been turned off when finally be able to express their dissatisfaction with Whitehouse for, you know, going after Tea Party people and just calling his own constituents names and being the most radical on climate change and that kind of thing. Moderate independent things swings both ways, and it could present an opportunity to finally bring some accountability, I guess, to Whitehouse, and also to answer the sense that he is this kind of elitist guy that just kind of inherited the seat from another blue blood, Chafee, Lincoln Chafee, that is. So I think it would be an interesting general, and I think Flanders is in a good position to do certainly much better than the march of Republicans who generally try to skip over every other office and go straight for Senate. He'll be in a much better position than those candidates have been, I think.
I don't want to... And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I don't want to skip over Representative Nardalillo, but I do think, Justin, that, well, you know, Rhode Island senators, you go back to Senator John Pastore, you know, Pell and Chafee that were there for so long, Senator Reid. It is a special office they hold in esteem. I think Senator Whitehouse, we'll see how this plays out, but I think he just felt invulnerable and, you know, followed the pattern of Elizabeth Warren too much. I think I like Flanders' op-ed in the Journal. Senators should focus on Rhode Island's needs. Rhode Island, I think it begins and ends with, Justin, Rhode Island is best served when we have a Republican in Senate and a Democrat senator. Senator Reid is not going anywhere. And let's face it, it does not help us that Senator Whitehouse is so partisan and so progressive and so to the left that it's basically like Rhode Island does not have a voice right now in the Senate.
Right, and actually raising that point is good, important to the conversation, because you can definitely see Judge Flanders and Senator Reid working together on items of interest to Rhode Island, and maybe even the judge pulling Reid to the right somewhat, giving him some cover there.
Yes.
So, whereas it's harder to see, say, a Bobby Nardolillo entering the Senate and working so much with Reid. I mean, he might become a stronger Republican for that, which could be good in its own way. But you could definitely see, if you think of our senators as a team, and it'll be nice to think of them as a team as our population leaves and we lose a congressman, and that, at least we still have two senators. You could see that complement, and rather than having White House pulling Reid to the left, I think Rhode Islanders may be ready at this point, especially in an environment where our entire delegation is in the minority. We might be ready for a little bit more moderation of our delegation in that regard.
I completely agree. We're going to ask Justin, folks, to hold on just for a moment. I apologize. Just for a moment. We're going to come back with Justin Katz in just a moment. Again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show each weekday now, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on AM 1380, 95.1 FM. And it's WNRI. We're going to come back Political Monday in just a moment. For those on Facebook Live, if you have a question, you want to put a comment about anything with politics, you can type it into the screen. If you're listening right now on your radio, you can go to John DePietro Show on Facebook. Hey, I want to remind you, though, Paul Massey Chevrolet, they're having their annual year-end one-price sales event. And this is your best time to save. Rhode Island's number one Chevrolet dealer, Paul Massey Chevrolet. They have the selection you're looking for at the year-end one price that you deserve. Get your fully electric, and I do mean electric, no gas, 238 miles of range, the Bolt Chevrolet Bolt EV crossover. What a tremendous vehicle it is. Folks, your days of going to the gas station are over at Paul Massey. Test drive the Paul Massey. Go gasless with the Bolt EV, the crossover vehicle. Look at that thing. It's a rocket ship. It gets tremendous mileage. And right now, they have the year-end deal that you're looking for. Stop in and see them. Paul Massey Chevrolet in East Providence. It's Route 44, Taunton Avenue. Tremendous selection right now. Think of this. But you can lease the Chevrolet Bolt EV crossover, $199. $199 a month, zero due. And it's a tremendous vehicle, crossover. Zero due lease at Rhode Island's electric vehicle leader, Paul Massey Chevrolet. And you're going to love the Bolt EV. Your days of going to the gas station are over. And remember, right now, you could also get the new SUV. Paul Massey Chevrolet has them in every size. Compact, Trax, SUV to the midsize, fully restyled Equinox. Even bigger award-winning 2018 Traverse, plus a full selection, full-size Tahoes, Suburbans, all one-priced for the year-end clearance, saving you time and money. Paul Massey Chevrolet in East Providence, Route 44, Taunton Avenue, voted Rhode Island's best place to buy your new car by the Providence Journal Reader's Choice Awards. Stop in, see how easy one price is. Remember, always online at paulmassey.com. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come right back with Justin Katz. Again, Political Monday, managing editor from Ocean State Current. It's all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
The Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra brings Handel's complete epic masterpiece, Messiah, to the St. Anne Arts and Cultural Center for one performance only on Sunday, November 26th at 3 p.m., featuring guest soloists soprano Kelly Hollis, mezzo-soprano Megan Roth, tenor Jesse Darden, and baritone John Allen Nelson, under the direction of music director and conductor Edward Markward. Tickets are available at Excel Salon, The Honey Shop, Winthrop Street, Pepin Lumber, Vos True Value Hardware, or online at the St. Anne Arts and Cultural Center website. Handel's Messiah with the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra at the St. Anne Arts and Cultural Center on Sunday, November 26th at 3 p.m. Purchase your tickets in advance and save.
Folks, remember, you know, especially over the next couple of days, whenever the holidays roll around, you take your life in your hands getting behind the wheel of your car. If you find yourself in an accident, call West Fountain Auto Body today, 272-3340, 272-3340, West Fountain Auto Body. It's Kenny, it's Patricia. They're going to work for you, not the insurance company. From a small dent to a nearly totaled vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body. Call them today, 272-3340. They service all domestic and foreign vehicles. If you find yourself in an accident, as the tow trucks pull up, just tell them, let's get this car over to West Fountain Auto Body. 272-3340. Friend of mine, she went shopping, came out, someone had damaged the front of her vehicle. I said, call Kenny at West Fountain. 272-3340. And the most important thing is they're going to work for you, not the insurance company. West Fountain Auto Body. 272-3340. 272-3340. All right, and we're back on this Monday. Good afternoon to Brian, Roger, Barbara, everyone watching us. New to the show, watching from York, Pennsylvania, from my friend East Greenwich. Good afternoon. Thank you, Roger. That's right, Paul Massey Chevrolet. Folks, you can watch us Facebook Live. It's John DePietro's show. If you share that you're watching it, I'll give you a special shout-out, again, brought to you by our friends at EliteWirelessRI.com. All right, we continue with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Political Monday. Hey, Justin, in the news, I think this is an interesting development, and it could solve all the state's problems. The Paw Sox float out the idea. And to me, see, this is when you run into problems of disingenuous negotiating. They float out the idea that Attleboro could be the site of the new Paw Sox Stadium. Now, number one, it would solve our problems because everyone could still go to the games and you wouldn't have to pay for anything. The only problem is, as they then floated that out, Attleboro officials say they know nothing about it. They haven't had any discussions with the team. And it almost seems as though the Paw Sox threw that out a little bit like a Trojan horse. Now, as much as Senate President Ruggiero is saying they still think they're coming back before Christmas, I am not hearing that from the House.
Yeah, I haven't seen or heard any indication that the House is reconsidering its go-slow approach. I think they're holding out for something that will make it more palatable to, the people who aren't quite as excited about the direction that Rhode Island has been going. There's a lot of agitation about the idea of giving any kind of aid, any kind of private venture at this point. Even the other day, what AT Cross, the pen company that got a promise of about $2 million from the state, was bought, and the new company admitted that they're going to be cutting jobs rather than adding jobs. And all the governor could say was, well, yeah, but at least we won't have to give them the aid we told them we were going to give them because they didn't add any jobs. Well, that's not really economic development, the fact that you didn't lose economic development investments. You just got to keep it. And so these kinds of things sink in, and I think people are pretty sick of that. And so expressing that in the House or through their representatives, and Speaker Mattiello in particular, given his district in Cranston, I think they're going to need a lot more either advantage for the state or coverage politically if it's more of a crony deal than we're seeing right now. I think it'll wait till after December. The Attleboro thing, I agree with you. I think that's perfect. If the idea is that we just want to maintain this thing and this team in the nearby area so we can actually go to games, who cares if it's over the border? A lot of us live on the border and we live our lives.
Perfect. You know? Attleboro solves all our problems. Done deal. I mean, unless I would like to think that they're serious and they're not, you know, trying to bluff us into this, because you would have think Attleboro, if the officials truly had any type of negotiation with the Paw Sox owners, boy, they're playing a real poker face because they came across like they knew nothing about the whole thing.
Yeah, just from the outside what it looks like, because we had heard about these I think they're Yale students who designed some stadiums. I think it sounds like it was a bit more of a school project for the students than the PawSox were just sort of the real life testing ground of it, and that maybe the PawSox tried to parlay that coincidence into a negotiation tactic, but they may find it, the whiplash gets them, because there might be now a cry of a cheer from Rhode Islanders saying, yes, put it in Attleboro, that works for me. So hey, they might backfire on them, which actually makes it an interesting negotiation point for the officials in Attleboro.
It does, and on top of that, you know, once again, they didn't even need, like, consult anyone at RISD, they go to Yale. Justin, is how much do you think the UHIP problem, and it is a problem, is going to present for Governor Raimondo for her re-election next year as governor?
Well, I think it's quite a bit, and it's growing. I mean, if you look at the news, you know, you've got ACLU setting up a hotline for people to complain that they're not getting their benefits. The feds are withholding a bonus of $725,000 from the state because it's so slow. The latest news is the backlog is now twice as big. I mean, there are 1,000 applications that haven't even been entered into the system yet. And you'd think with this becoming a growing concern, and with all of the PR people in the governor's office and in her campaign, somebody would be coming up with a way to start putting in something in this news, like this constant barrage of news about UHIP, something that makes it look like, hey, I'm doing something about it. And we're just not getting any of that. And the longer that goes on, the more the impression is that this is just something failing that nobody has any clue how to fix within the state. I mean, you're getting, I think it was Representative Blake Filippi, I think he's a Republican, or is he independent still?
He's an independent. But he caucuses with the Republicans.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he had made the switch recently for some reason. But anyway, he recently tweeted and asked on Twitter and asked, is it time to tear it down the system and go back to paper? I mean, that's not a good legacy to be building up as you go into a campaign season where at least one of your competitors is a pretty successful mayor in the state. The governor needs to get out there and somehow construct the narrative that they're doing something, at least, as we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, put on the flannel shirt that shows you're going out to fight the snows for the people of Rhode Island, and do whatever the parallel thing is for welfare benefits and UHIP. Go out and do that and be seen taking action, because she's really not. She's still in the news, flying around the country, overlapping her supposed governor's duties with fundraising around the country. By this point, I think that narrative is already settled in. And the real danger as we go into 2018 is that the next tier of voters who don't maybe follow this stuff as closely as your listeners do year round, they'll start to pay attention and they'll quickly get the temperature of this and pick up the narrative of what's going on with UHIP. And that undermines a lot of Governor Raimondo's credibility as a managerial type of Democrat.
I'll tell you, Justin, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCard.com. Apparently, not only is the governor flying all over the place, now we find out in this morning's Providence Journal, even her chief of staff, Brett Smiley, is out of the country. It's some boondoggle of New England progressives that are visiting Israel. But, take away the $4 million that she's going to have for the reelection, low approval ratings. Asumco, the colonel of the state police, did that Saturday press briefing where she actually gave out wrong information, and then we didn't see her the rest of the week. The continuing UHIP problems, and even, you know, the Providence Journal, that editorial, like Rhode Island report card, it's still not there. She has got to be counting on, it's a good thing she has that money, because otherwise, I do not see her in any way. The one thing I am puzzled is that no Democrat has taken her on, and maybe that's just due to the amount of money she has, and maybe behind the scenes of different people kind of wheeling and dealing and making promises to keep people out of the race. But other than that, I think she's as vulnerable as Chafee was back in 2013 when he decided not to go for a second term.
I would say so. Although the primary aspect of the election is a little bit different. There aren't a whole lot of people you would see challenging the governor, and probably who wouldn't want to be her to follow her up. I mean, if if it's not, if genuinely everything has been going pretty poorly, UHIP, et cetera, you wouldn't necessarily want to follow up somebody of your own party to try to inherit that mess. So there may be a lot of people who would say, I'll take a pass this year, even without being strong-armed to not run a primary campaign against her. And, there, you know, the progressives are being relatively smart about it and going for legislative seats and trying to build up their power there. Regenberg is an exception to that, and he wants a high-paying job that you don't have to do anything, I think. So he's going for lieutenant governor. I don't think the progressives really want to grab the governor's seat right now. So a lot of it might just be the natural incentives of the office and the condition we're in. But you would think there would be more. I mean, the news today, the Community Food Bank of Rhode Island is out saying that Rhode Island has the highest poverty in New England. And as you point out, the Providence Journal is pointing out that, you know, our projections for our economy are still pretty bad despite all this supposed work we're doing, bringing in big companies and investing in our future and all that stuff. So this whole governorship has kind of been static, and then hurting. Now the narrative is starting to be that it's hurting the poor, and you would think that would raise some hue and cry from the left, and to have somebody primary her, which again makes it strange that she's not doing more to seem like she's doing more, so to speak.
You know, what's also interesting about that, finally, is just the fact that, but you know, it is true with the amount of hungry and poverty, but Justin, also, you could make the argument that we import it. Rhode Island has one of the most lax type of qualifications for those that want to apply for, state assistance, government assistance. If you make it easy and encourage people that need that to come into your state, then they are going to come into the state. So the real, to me, bottom line is the Rhode Island cannot afford to be as generous as we are in regards to with social programs. And that is something that would take a Republican governor to overturn it, because, you know, it started with Obamacare and Liz Roberts and, you know, telling all these people to go on the Rhode Island system. And now Governor Raimondo is saying, my God, you know, it's so expensive, all the Medicare costs that now the Rhode Island Exchange absorbs with that. They were running ads telling people, hey, if you need food stamps and Providence, regardless of your income, you get lunch and breakfast and lunch for free. To me, right now, local officials continue to write checks that they can't cash. They're constantly making promises for votes on things that we are in no position, seemingly as a state, to be as generous as we are. You know, in Massachusetts, you have to wait a certain amount of time before you qualify for welfare benefits. In Rhode Island, boom, you're added right away. I've had people, you know, that work at DHS say, you know, they come in from Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York, New Hampshire, other states, because they know they're going to get added right away and no one's ever knocked it off. And to me, this could end up being a defining campaign issue of how much longer are we going to continue to be so generous with these social programs when it's very clear that the state cannot sustain it.
Right, and well, this ties right into economic development, because the whole question is what's the focus of our state? What is our major industry? And for a while now, certainly since Kocheri left office, the answer has been government is our major industry. I've been calling it the government plantation, because what it is, they try to increase the number of people, and this is what UHIP's all about, increase the number of people on the government services so that the government can then justify taxing other people or getting more money from the federal government, which goes to why everybody's outraged about tax reform at the federal level. And that's how the business model of the state. We draw people to take government services so we can get money in order to provide it, and that's the foundation. And maybe for some side benefit, we'll give some perks to crony companies and to GE or what have you. And that's not a viable economic model over the long term, because what happens is the people you're trying to squeeze locally, leave. You know, the people who are younger, just starting their families and want to turn their talent into money, they go where they can do that, and they're no longer in the pool providing. And then the rest of the country gets sick of it eventually and says, you know what, we're not supporting Rhode Island anymore. We're gonna cut federal. We're going to send people to Washington who are going to cut federal spending. And if you really want just a productive society, and that's not the strategy that we've been seeing in Rhode Island for at least 10, maybe 15 years, probably longer, but that's about as long as I've been really tracing it.
Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, John. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving to our friend Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Kevin writes, if Rhode Island's going to continue to be an immigration welfare state, fine, but it doesn't need a AAA baseball stadium, especially in Pawtucket, Central Falls, and South. I don't know. That's a very good point. Again, comments, folks, you can write on Facebook Live. It's John DePietro's show. But if, in fact, whether or not the Paw Sox are legitimately looking at Attleboro, that would solve a lot of problems. People could still go to the games. They're not going to leave the area. But then the Attleboro people said they didn't know anything about it. Now, the latest new report shows hunger's on the rise in Rhode Island. And the state problem, the benefits situation, continue. Let me hear a little bit of this is a report that ran on Channel 12.
Food Bank. Eyewitness News reporter Steph Machado. Oh, joining us live at the food bank in Providence with a preview of those details.
Brian, one of the issues the folks here at the food bank plan to bring up today is Rhode Island's troubled UHIP benefit system. That's how Rhode Islanders sign up for SNAP benefits, commonly known as food stamps. Now, we reported last week that thousands of applications for benefits have been lost by that new computer system, which has been plagued with technical glitches since it launched. Today, the food bank's CEO also plans to call on Congress to abandon plans to make cuts to the SNAP program in the federal budget. Now, according to the new status report released today on hunger in Rhode Island, 61% of households in Rhode Island are experiencing hunger. 6.1% of households are experiencing hunger. 12.8% are in poverty. And in 2016, 170,000 Rhode Islanders received SNAP benefits for food. And according to the report, that number of Rhode Islanders receiving SNAP benefits drastically decreased in 2017, but they attribute that to problems with application processing through the UHIP system, not because the number of people who need food assistance has decreased. And so again, this report is coming out today. They're going to hold an announcement here at the food bank at 12:30, so we'll bring you all of that.
All right, that is the Channel 12 report. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro, but don't you agree? And you can call in 769-0600, our phone number, 769-0600. Listen, there's abuse which in that EBT system, those EBT cards. There's massive abuse. And between how much more can they do between the food pantries and giving out the cards? There's too much fraud in the system. And they don't do anything to weed out the fraud that happens to be in the system. And I think that's one of the problems that always seems to come into play. 769-0600, 769-0600. Folks, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Now, I want to remind you about our friends at the Kitchen and Countertop Center of New England, New England's largest kitchen and bath design showroom, the recognized leader in kitchen and bathroom design. Think of this Thursday, all the preparation, right? Everybody gathers in the kitchen. So why not have your dream kitchen with the Kitchen and Countertop Center? It's Joe, it's Eddie, it's your kitchen with the Kitchen and Countertop Center. Call them today and schedule your free in-home consultation, 736-0001. 736-0001. A brand new kitchen with the Kitchen and Countertop Center. They're located 125 Essen Avenue in Pawtucket. It's right off of 95. There's over 100 different kitchen and models to choose from. It's just fantastic. 8,000 square feet. It is beautiful. It is state of the art. It's the Kitchen and Countertop Center. Folks, call them today and schedule your free in-home consultation at the Kitchen and Countertop Center. 736-0001. 736-0001 for the Kitchen and Countertop Center. Let's hear those numbers one more time.
Commonly known as food stamps. Now, we reported last week that thousands of applications for benefits have been lost by that new computer system, which has been plagued with technical glitches since it launched. Today, the food bank's CEO also plans to call on Congress to abandon plans to make cuts to the SNAP program in the federal budget. Now, according to the new status report released today on hunger in Rhode Island, 61% of households in Rhode Island are experiencing hunger. 6.1% of households are experiencing hunger. 12.8% are in poverty. And in 2016, 170,000 Rhode Islanders received SNAP benefits for food. And according to the report, that number of Rhode Islanders receiving SNAP benefits drastically decreased in 2017, but they attribute that to problems with application processing through the UHIP system, not because the number of people who need food assistance has decreased. And so again, this report is coming out today. They're going to hold an announcement here at the food bank at 12:30, so we'll bring you all of that on Eyewitness News starting live at 5.
All right, so that was a little bit earlier, Steph Machado with the report on Channel 12. But again, folks, you know, this is one of those things. And where is the governor's chief of staff, Brett Smiley? He's out of the country. He's on a free boondoggle to Israel. You know, why is Rhode Island's governor's chief of staff, Brett Smiley, who still, by the way, makes a fortune in his own private consulting business, why the hell is he out of state right now in Israel? It makes no sense at all. I'll tell you, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, this is the time of year. Holidays, we've been telling you. Why not take advantage? Upgrade your cell phone. Joining us right now is our friend Sal from Metro PCS. Good afternoon, Sal.
Good afternoon, JD. How are you?
Very well. Now, you have a very special offer, 5 locations that we want to offer our listeners.
That's right. Right now, Metro PCS has the best unlimited deal going on in wireless. You're going to get 2 lines of unlimited 4G LTE data for just $80, period. Plus, on top of that, you're not going to get one. You're going to get 2 free awesome smartphones with 32 gigabytes of memory when you switch to Metro PCS. So right now, only Metro PCS gives you twice the memory on any free phone that's out there. You'll have unlimited 4G LTE data. You'll have more for your pictures, videos, apps such as Simple Radio, TuneIn Radio, Facebook Live. Whatever you like to do, you have the ability to do that and much more with these awesome smartphones from Metro PCS. And on top of that, you can enjoy them on a nationwide reliable network with Metro PCS. So there really hasn't been a better time to switch.
Is it Buona Sailor? Yeah, it does sound like Buona. Is it Buona Sailor?
No.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not Buona Sailor?
Buona Sailor. Si, signore. Buona Sailor.
Buona Sailor.
Sal, there's the thing. I enjoy that.
These are the great things you can do on your smartphone.
That's exactly right, folks. These are some of the things that you can do on your smartphone. And if you don't have one because you're running out of data or you're going to miss out, there's still time to take advantage of that. And that is, of course, Nighttime with Dana. Now, Sal, number one, you know, everyone is posting their different pictures and videos. You don't want to miss moments like that with your smartphone.
Yep.
And, folks, Sal is our guy where you can stop in his 5 great locations and take advantage of the offer that he just told you about. 5 great locations, 989 Manton Avenue in Providence, 1852 Smith Street in North Providence, Atwood Avenue in Johnston, which is right next to Johnston Town Hall, 1553 Plainfield Pike in Johnson, right off of 295. But wait, there's more. And if that's not enough, the newest location, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston. Folks, Sal is our director, doctor of communications, all things cell phone. What is the best way that people can get a hold of you?
Best, easiest way to contact myself and my team, you can call us at 401-332-5051, 332-5051. If you have questions regarding this promotion, you want to get the 2 free phones from us. If you have problems with your phones with your phone now, maybe you're not sure how to fix it, give us a ring, 332-5051.
And Sal, especially this time of year, because, you know, once those moments of the kids, you know, opening or grandchildren or whoever, you know, the exchanging of gifts on Christmas morning or for Hanukkah, once, if you miss that opportunity, it's gone. You can't get that back.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned about the memory with the smartphones. If you don't have the proper memory in your smartphones, you're not going to be able to take those pictures. You're not going to be able to download apps. You may not be able to go on FaceTime, Facebook Live. There's many things you won't be able to do if you don't have the sufficient memory in your phone. So you want to be prepared. If you have an old clunker that you've been using, it's now is the time to upgrade. And you're going to get two free awesome smartphones from Metro PCS when you make that switch. So there really hasn't been a better time to switch.
And folks, what I want to remind you is that a lot of people that maybe you, you know, it's been a while since you've changed or upgraded your cell phone. Now is the time that you could, in fact, do that by switching to Metro PCS.
Folks, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL.
All right. There we go. Sal, sorry about that. A little blast from our friend Sergio.
Crazy time. A little crazy time early today.
That's right. Sal, give the phone number again that people can get a hold of you.
Easiest way to contact myself, my team, 332-5051, 332-5051. Give us a call. You will have the time of your life.
Thank you, Sal. There's our friend Sal from Metro PCS. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. He is the best, by the way. If you've been thinking about upgrading your cell phone, and when you go into the store, there's so many different models to choose from. Sal is who you want to contact. And also, folks, proud sponsors, EliteWirelessRI.com. Roger, EliteWirelessRI.com. Roger on Facebook Live. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. So what an absolute disaster with the numbers, though, that they are giving out regarding the whole problem with the Rhode Island facing sharp cuts to food stamps. As they say, hunger grows. But keep in mind, you know, there are food pantries. You have soup kitchens. A lot of the cost that we're trying to absorb is they allow these people to take advantage of the system. And I think there's a lot of people listening right now that agree and know that there's no way that all of the different people that are receiving these benefits, that they should in fact be entitled to it. There's no way. We're going to say good afternoon to all. Again, folks, you can follow me on both Facebook and Twitter. It's John DePietro Show. And also email me. It's john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. But the news you're going to hear about are, and when you hear about it, especially this time of year, you think like, my God, how awful. But all these people that are hungry. But I come back to, it can't be a priority for the governor. The report, state poverty, Rhode Island's poverty, highest in New England. Why is her chief of staff, according to the Providence Journal, why is Brett Smiley, the chief of staff to Governor Raimondo, why is he right now in Israel? Shouldn't he be here focusing on the problems that they're having with the UHIP computer? Shouldn't he be here working on some of the various problems that they're having in the state? What the hell is he doing in Israel? Are these the priorities that she's talking about right now? I mean, these things, why is he there? I'll tell you why he's there, because it's a free trip. It's a total free trip. But is this what we're stuck with again? That is, this stuff is going on that the governor's chief of staff, Smiley, you know, can't pass up a free trip. And I'm not saying that we're paying for it, but shouldn't the governor's chief of staff be here right now to try to solve this problem? You have all these problems with this computer system that the governor and her people, she owns it. Gina Raimondo owns the problem with that computer system. And they also own the problem. Of course they're going to be cuts. The rest of the nation wants to cut into all these welfare benefits. It's Rhode Island that wants to keep the party going. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in at 769-0600. 769-0600. Right now, Rhode Island spends $270 million on SNAP benefits. And what the government is saying, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the government is going to cut out $90 million. So a third. So can we continue to be so generous with the welfare program? You have to go to work. You have to, many people, right? How many people listening? You work two jobs. In your family, you work two jobs. Everybody, right now it's 155 on this Monday. Let's be clear. Everybody has to work. The problem with Raimondo and Cicilline and Alorza and the whole General Assembly at the State House is we are the most generous state and we can't afford to be this generous. And it's a major problem. So what are they going to say? Oh, people need to pay more taxes so we can have all these people on welfare. Wrong. Business people. I just received this email from Michael that writes, Johnny D, love the show. So glad you're saying this. We have been trying to find people for our business. Seasonal help. We're offering $12 to $15 an hour. These people come in. They last a few hours. They leave. They say, the hell with it. I'd rather stay at home and just get my benefits. Please keep talking about this. See, that's part of the problem. That is absolutely part of the problem. Again, you can email me. It's John at DePietro.com. John at DePietro.com. Remember, K&R Auto Salvage, they'll pay you the highest price for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. They're located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Mineral Spring Avenue, 80% off retail prices, and access to nationwide inventory. Call them for all major car or truck parts. It's K&R. They'll pay you the highest price for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, 353-9200. 353-9200, K&R. 80% off retail prices, and they will pay you the highest price for your junk car. It's K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today. Karen and her family, what a great job they do. 353-9200. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, I feel bad for the real needy, but I've heard so many stories of people that watch these people go around to all these food pantries, and they hit two or three at a time, plus then they have SNAP benefits, and that's taking away from the truly hungry. And what about all the illegals that are on some of these SNAP benefits? What about the people that are not even Rhode Island residents? They don't even live here. They come in from New York or Massachusetts. How about the people that sell cards online on Craigslist or sell them outside convenience stores in certain parts of the state? All of that fraud needs to be cut down on, and that is a major problem with it. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. Now, I will be on Friday. We have a very special guest in studio on Wednesday. On Friday, we have a very, very special guest that I'm going to tell you about tomorrow. But I want to remind you, this portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Stop in and see them, lunch or dinner, located 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. It's the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Call them at 725-8510. 725-8510. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, whether it's lunch or dinner, full bar, large dining area. They had a big crowd there for the Patriots game yesterday afternoon into the night. If you have some friends in from out of town, how about have a nice reunion at the Lodge Pub and Eatery? Or maybe you want to have a Friendsgiving with some people. Stop in and see our friends at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, absolutely delicious. You're going to love it at the Lodge. Well, it's John DePietro. Listen, enjoy this Monday. The program will be rebroadcast. You can go to our website, WNRI.com, and hear the podcast for it. And also visit the website, DePietro.com. I have a good story coming up a little bit later on regarding Brett Smiley, the chief of staff to Governor Raimondo. You can email me anytime at John at DePietro.com and follow me on social media. It's John DePietro Show, John DePietro Show, on both Facebook and Twitter. Enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next right here on WNRI.
WNRI and W236CW Woonsocket, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.